You can hear us okay? Good stuff. Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Alistair Bacon. I'm the CEO of Shaw. Third visit to the Falkland Islands. Fantastic to be here. The weather was very kind yesterday and it was lovely. Today, now this evening, it's also turned out into a lovely evening as well. Thank you all for coming, and hopefully you can all follow this on the radio as well. Just for everyone in the room, we are broadcasting live as well, so I will be explaining some of the slides as well as talking through the slides. I've got a short presentation to go through that shouldn't take more than about 10 or 15 minutes. And then I hope we can then have a good and healthy discussion about all things to do with connectivity and connecting Falkland Islands. The first thing I wanted to say was, you have our attention as a company, as a business, as a team, that we're working flat out as a team to bring the very best services that we can to the Falkland Islands. And I acknowledge that we need to catch up, and that we've got ground to make up as well. And I also acknowledge that it can be better, and it should be better as well. And I think it's really important to say that we acknowledge as well the sense of frustration, the sense, in some cases, of anger as well, and the sense that the community, you all want to see improvements very quickly. We are working flat out, as I said, that's the team here in Guernsey. So that's a team of 30 people, in the Falkland Islands, my apologies. That's the team of 30 people here in the Falkland Islands, as well as the team in Guernsey, of experts, of engineers, who are looking to bring the best technology here, and also all of our suppliers that we're working with. So that includes the satellite suppliers that we have, which is Intelsat and OneWeb, also talking to other potential suppliers as well, also talking to providers of the best wireless technology, including others too. And it's a team effort in terms of the people here on the island, the people in Guernsey, and all of our suppliers. And what we're looking at is doing two main things. The first thing is trying to fixing some of the issues that we've got today, but also in finding new solutions to improve things, particularly on broadband. And that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit more in a moment as well. We want to find a solution that addresses the Select Committee's recommendations and the concerns that everyone in the public has raised. And I hope that what I'm going to be saying in the next few minutes goes a long way to addressing those concerns and those issues. So, that was the introduction, and I'm now going to show a slide for those of you on the radio, which says unlimited for all. So one of the things that we understand you as a community want is faster broadband, a more reliable service at a lower cost. And one of the other big aspects of this is the fact that today broadband is not unlimited. So we want everyone to be able to get unlimited broadband going forward. And there's two plans that we plan to launch, and these would replace all of the existing broadband plans that we have in place today. So there's two plans. They're both unlimited. The first plan is for £50 a month for unlimited data, and that goes up to a speed of 5 megabits per second. The second plan is for £115 a month, is also for unlimited data and would be to speeds of up to 15 megabits per second. So a massive change from where we are today. A big improvement in terms of faster speeds. Removes all of the need to do stuff, for example, beyond midnight, because the plans will be completely unlimited. We've been working extremely hard to find the solution that can bring this about in terms of enabling and ensuring there's enough capacity to be able to deliver this new service. So it's faster, it's lower cost, and it's unlimited. The second aspect, and the second part of the proposal, is that we have a LEO service, so a low Earth orbit service, which is direct to you, the customer. Now, this isn't for everyone. The idea is that this would be prioritized to camp customers, to business customers, and to those customers who are at the end of the line today, which means that they get slow speeds. The idea is, so I'm just pointing here, for those of you on the radio, there's a flat panel solution that I'm pointing to here, which is, how do I describe this? For everyone on the radio, it's an aerial that is a flat panel antenna. It is about the size of a small coffee table, I think is probably the right way to describe it. It's flat panel, so it points up to the sky, and we've had this in the Falkland Islands for about 48 hours now. It takes about 15 to 30 minutes to set up, and once set up, we're seeing speeds, and you see on the slide here that we are seeing speeds of up to 100 megs. As we're testing it live here, right now, in the Falkland Islands. The latency is around about 100 milliseconds. The upload speed is about 10 megs. And this radio broadcast is being sent over the solution that we're using. It's out there in the car park at the moment. So we're talking to you over that network today. So it's perfect for a camp situation. Again, it's direct to the customer. So what we envisage is that the houses and the businesses that have this solution, it'd be one for each household and one for each business. And it doesn't touch any of the existing infrastructure that Shore has today. So it's direct to you as a customer. Importantly as well, the traffic doesn't route through Argentina, and it's capable of speeds between 20 and 100 megabits per second. So that is a solution that we think is very well suited to camp, as I said, to business customers and to people, individuals, households that have very slow broadband today. In other words, that aren't capable of getting some of the speeds that I talked about in the Unlimited for All as well. So those are the two key proposals. And I talked about the importance of a local team and how committed we are to the Falkland Islands. We've got a team of 30 people here, and they will continue to be here to provide not only all of the existing services that we do today, but also this new service as well. So the services will continue to run across the Shore network as they do already. It's not us stopping those services, and this will complement that. So it will run side by side, and it will be supported by the team you have here today as well. So the team will be on hand to help. We'll do the installations. And you can call us if there's any problems with the service. You can continue to call us and talk to us, and we're on hand to help. We are committed to the Falkland Islands from a long-term perspective and a long-term investment perspective. We've been here a long time. We know we have some catching up to do, and I've said at the start, we are working extremely hard to do that. And the local team is a really important part of the service that we provide here. We are committed to the islands, and the team here are from the islands as well, and we're part of the community. Our purpose as a business is to connect our island communities for a better future, and that is true in the Falklands, as it's true in Guernsey, the Isle of Man, or anywhere else. So my key messages are is that it can be better, it should be better, and it will be better. We have a really strong plan to bring faster, lower cost broadband for all. So that's unlimited for all, and then a direct-to-customer LEO solution. And it's fully supported by a local team who are committed for the long term to the Falkland Islands and supporting you as a community. Thank you. I'd like to open it up to questions, please.
How much is the solution for each household out in camp for this setup?
So the question, I'm just going to repeat your question so that people on the radio can hear as well. So the question was, how much is the LEO direct-to-customer solution going to be? We haven't finalised everything yet, but we expect it to be in the range of £130 to £140 per month, with a setup fee probably in the region of £500 to £750, something like that, pounds. And that includes the installation and all of the equipment.
And that will be for everybody in camp that needs it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Could I ask what the expected timeline is for rolling the OneWeb system out?
Well, it's ready to go now. So, all the satellites are in place, all the networks in place. We've been testing the network, as I'm sure you're aware, for quite some time. And we're happy now that the network's all in place. The equipment now needs to be rolled out. So we could do that in months.
Okay. I mean, bearing in mind that Starlink is £300 to buy, there's no setup costs. It's going to be less than £100 a month, excuse me, for the tariff, and it's available now. And it'll be available legally in May 25. So, do you not think this system's a bit late?
No, I don't, because I think that it's ready to go, Simon. So it's here. We've tested it. It still needs some more testing to verify that that it is a proper service that you can all rely upon. But we believe that with the network that's been put in place by OneWeb, it doesn't have a good reputation here because of the time it's been taking us to get it ready to be launched. But now we believe all the hard work that we put in with our partners, with OneWeb, that it is ready to roll out, and other people around the world are relying on OneWeb. It wouldn't just be the Falkland Islands that would rely upon it.
Okay, so is the plan to run this alongside Starlink? If people want to make the decision, so we've got competition.
That's a difficult question to answer. No, that's not the plan. We've been talking to Starlink, and at the moment, this is the LEO service that Shaw can offer, and the one that is ready to go.
Okay, but the Starlink solution could be ready in a couple of months.
The Starlink solution, when you say the Starlink solution, so as I said, we've been having a discussion with Starlink, which at the moment is paused. I think that they are waiting to see what's the outcome here in the Falkland Islands. At the moment, at this present time, the discussions with Shaw are not continuing at this stage, but that is something that we are very open to having a discussion with Starlink.
Okay. So with that in mind, does SURE intend to challenge the government's decision, which was to support the petition's demand, i.e. taking legal action against the government?
Can you say that again?
So does SURE intend to challenge FIG's decision to support the petition demands in any way? In other words, are you going to take legal action against the government? Because the way it is at the moment, the MLAs, they all backed the petitioner's demands. So it's going forward. So what's your response to that?
We're trying to find a solution that, as I said, that matches the demands of the petition and that avoids taking any kind of legal action. Because I don't think that's a good outcome for anyone at all.
No, but I mean, would it not make sense to give people a choice? So if I wanted to have Starlink, I have Starlink. If I want that, I have that. I mean, surely that makes sense, is it?
I think that one of the problems, Simon, is that if it's a small marketplace, the Falkland Islands, it's a relatively, you know, it's 4,000 odd people who live here. And if it isn't big enough to sustain more than one telecoms operator.
So are you saying you wouldn't make enough profit if some of the population shifted to Starlink?
I'm saying that SURE wouldn't make any profit at all. And would
it not make any profit at all? So what are your profits at the moment? Why isn't that information shared?
Because it isn't, and because the fact is that what we've seen is when Starlink does come into a place like Ascension, that SURE's business is unsustainable going forward.
I mean, I've spoken to a lot of people throughout this, and you know, a lot of people have said they're not interested in Starlink. They don't want to use it. They're quite happy with what they've got, which is great. It's just that choice. So to say that if Starlink comes in, that's the end of SURE, I honestly do not believe that. I mean, I don't know what your figures are, but I imagine without the broadband services, you'd still make plenty of money to survive.
I'm sorry, but we wouldn't.
Right. Could you publish that information then, the profit, so we can make a decision from that?
What I can tell you is that we wouldn't make any profit. We'd make a loss.
So you can't share that information then?
No. Right. I can't share that information with you right here and now.
But
the point is that if the Falkland Islands cannot sustain 2, 3, 4 operators, it's just simply not big enough. And what we're trying to find here is a solution that gives faster broadband at a lower cost, substantially lower cost, and it's more reliable, and gives, you know, what I think is the underlying requests of the Select Committee, from the petition, from you all. And that's what we're trying to do here, is to find a solution that means that we can provide ongoing telecommunication services. It isn't just broadband that we're providing, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
The feedback that we've been getting is that those other services are critical as well. So mobile calling, international calling, local calling, fixed calling, emergency calling,
which Starlink can't do, so they're not a telecoms provider.
Exactly, exactly.
So they wouldn't be taking all the.
They wouldn't. But the way this works out is that we've got our costs in terms of the people that we employ here. We've got our costs in terms of the capacity that we're spending millions of pounds on, and we can't overnight cut those costs to zero. That's not how it works. And if we want to be able to provide those services on an ongoing way, supported with a local team, it requires very significant investment to be able to do that. And there isn't room in the market for two operators. Now, I know that's not what you want to hear, and I know that everyone here would much rather there be a whole plethora of choice, but to provide those services in parallel and in tandem, it can't be done with such a small island like this.
Well, sorry to disappoint you, it is going to happen though, but it's too late now. It will happen.
Well, I hope it's not too late, because that's why we're here proposing
this. You should have been proposing this I mean, why are we now suddenly being offered unlimited broadband? Why wasn't that offered a year ago, 2 years ago?
Okay,
so that's only because of
Starlink. No, I think, you know, that's a question that I've been asked already in the last couple of days a lot. You know, why is it only coming up now? Is it because of the threat of Starlink being licensed? It's too little too late is what a lot of people are saying. So, as I said, we need to catch up. The technology has moved on extremely quickly. This time last year, we were talking about launching Unlimited. And we can't just make these things happen overnight. So we did launch Unlimited in September. And what we've seen is that we didn't see the kind of take-up that we thought that we would get. So that's one aspect to it. The other aspect to it, what I did say last year, though, was that the technology is moving on at a phenomenal rate, and there is much more capacity available coming from our satellite providers, who we obviously rely on for connectivity to the Falkland Islands. And when we looked at that this time last year, we did what we could do, and we launched those unlimited plans in September. Now there's more capacity available to us, and so we can offer it. This technology that I'm showing you here wasn't available a year ago. It is now available to us. We have, as I said, lent on our suppliers, squeezed our suppliers for every last drop of value that we can get in terms of connectivity, in terms of capacity, but also now in terms of services. Now, this kit here that you're looking at, if you go and look online, it's $7,000 per piece of equipment. Now, I'm not saying that that is great value for money. I'm not saying that that is means it's better than Starlink. I'm not saying anything like that. What I'm saying, though, is it's a serious bit of kit that we wouldn't be charging $7,000 for. What we're going to be charging for is, I said, £500 to £750, and it's installed for that amount of money as well. So Short is investing to bring this stuff here to address exactly the petition, exactly what you've been asking us to do. We're here doing it. I really hope it's not too late, because we really want to continue to be the main provider of telecommunications here in the islands. And you've got our attention, and we're doing our best to get the product and the service that you want.
Okay. You'd be glad to know I just have one more question for you. Right, so would you be open to me collecting questions from the community and sending them to you for responses?
100%.
Yeah.
Yes,
right,
please.
Okay.
I know we've had a few exchanges on Facebook. It's good to meet you finally, and totally, if you want to fire me or the team and be the conduit, I'd really love that.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people obviously didn't come tonight, and some people want to remain anonymous. So.
Absolutely, fundamentally, please do.
Right, I'll shut up now.
Thank you, Simon. I hope you can see that we're passionate about trying to do what you want us to do. And as I said, I really hope it's not too late, because I feel like we have been working flat out over the last few months to find a solution to address a lot of what you want us to do.
To a question that sort of builds on where Simon started, really, but perhaps looking at it from a slightly different angle. I mean, I connected to your test setup when we first got here, and you know, it gives quite decent performance, and certainly you've got a much more competitive product than you've had previously. But I think the petition was about a little bit more than just wanting high-speed internet services. I think it was also about freedom of choice. And I mean, my background is, to draw a comparison, my background is working with the oil industry, and the oil industry has something that they refer to as a social license to operate in a territory. So it's working with the community, it's recognising the community's ambitions and things like that. I think if Shaw were to consider trying to overturn the result of the petition and what seems to be the fairly clear direction of travel that MLA seem to be heading in, I would suggest you would be at great danger of losing that social license to operate here as our main provider, because you'd effectively be trying to thwart the will of the people as expressed through the petition. So, I mean, you might not be willing to ask whether you'd be looking to challenge that, and I recognise you are taking steps to offer a better service, but from Shaw's point of view, I would suggest that it would be very dangerous to try and overthrow such a hugely expressed will, and I wondered if you had any response to that from Shaw's sort of position.
The first thing, I think you're exactly right, it is a social contract. It's not it's a contract between Shaw and the Falkland Islands community, and definitely recognise that as being very, very important. And I hope you heard me say at the start that I think we've got to catch up. I think what's happened over the last 18 months in particular is that the world's become much more digital, and the world is accelerating on that front. When you look at AI and this, all the new technology that's coming upon us. So access to the cloud is, we heard from the business community this morning how important accessing cloud services are. It's not nice to have anymore, it's a must have. And so the rate of change and the rate of technology advancement and the impact that is having on people's everyday lives, whether that is it's not just streaming anymore, is it? It covers every aspect of our lives: education, business, public services, booking a flight. It's everywhere and it's all encompassing. And so there's the rate of change has gone up a big notch in the last few years. The other thing that I think has happened is, the technology in terms of other services, like direct-to-customer services, like Starlink, wasn't really there a few years ago, and now it is. And you've got more and more of it coming as well, with Amazon, with other services too. And so I think and telecommunications is not a bit like the oil industry. It's not a short-term situation. Elon Musk didn't put Starlink up overnight. It took a while to do it. And it is taking us a while to respond to you, the community's demands. And I'm not saying they're wrong, and I'm 100% not saying that. I'm saying that it does take a bit of time for us to these things tend to go in phases, and we are having to catch up at the moment because the technology's moved on and your expectations have gone up another notch. And so I'm agreeing with a lot of what you've said. In terms of we don't want to end up to me that's a completely, and I think there's some other people here in the room that would recognise this and say, we have said this again and again, we don't want to end up in a legal battle at all. I think that is you're right, it's not a good outcome. But I think that we also have to be cognizant of supplying services for everyone. And that is, that is still a fundamental thing that we have to deal with in terms of Shaw is here to provide all of those services to everyone. And it has to be done on an economic basis. And we feel that with these solutions overlaid on top of what we do today, that we are going to improve things a significant amount. So, as I said, you've got our attention and we're working flat out to try to achieve that end. And that's what I want to remain focused on, because I believe that there is a solution that will give everyone who signed the petition what they want, maybe not 100%, but most of what you've asked for, and in a way that sure means that we still can continue to operate and provide all the services as well.
I think that's fine, but I'm still not sure I understand what your actual position is on whether there should be freedom of choice and whether, if the government wants to approve the licensing of Starlink, whether you'll try and stand in the way of that. Because that's the crux of the question. I mean, you talked in the meeting this morning about the fact that you couldn't actually put dishes like that in every back garden in Stanley. I think it wouldn't work from a congestion point of view. So that's still going to leave a bunch of people that are worse off than those that have it, and all of them, frankly, are still going to be somewhere below the Starlink service level. So, I mean, I think it's important to recognise that the petition is about freedom of choice. And today it's Starlink, tomorrow it'll be Amazon or whoever else is producing a system, and you'll be amongst that picture. But I think there will be outrage, rage, call it whatever you will, amongst the community if the current process that FIG is following is substantially disrupted because Shaw seeks to stand in its way and scupper it with whatever.
I understand that. There is a question of the sustainability of providing all of those other telecommunications.
So have you provided data to the government that illustrates the cost base and the revenue streams from each of your main services, so mobile, fixed landline, camp?
No, but not yet. We have provided some of that data, but not all of it, and that's a discussion that we are going to be having very soon.
But if there's an argument there, you must have all the numbers available to illustrate it, presumably.
Yeah, and you know, we've got the experience in Ascension that shows exactly what happens when Starlink is licensed as well. A very different situation, you know, much smaller place, etc., etc. But we know from experience what can happen.
I mean, I think the other final thing I'll say, and then I'll shut up because I don't know this morning. I think in some ways you might be seeing Starlink as competition, but frankly, if I had any of the big companies with a decent sized budget and I was looking for secure connectivity, I'd have a Starlink dish and I'd have one of them. So it's complementary as well as being perhaps in some cases a challenger. So. I don't think it's as big a risk as you perhaps think it is.
There is a substantial issue there that we do need to talk about. It is part of the ExCo's decision is to look at, the mandatory decision is to look at how the provision of all telecommunication services can continue as well.
Market question.
Done?
No.
I was waiting for it to start again. I thought it was just hoovering up.
Good afternoon. I was just wondering if we go back. You talked about the profitability. I can't remember whose question you're answering, sorry. And the financial aspect. I think that from filed accounts that the public can pay and see, the average pre-tax profit for sure. And I'm not sure which bits are added in your Ascension and such, but as we see it, for the last 5 years, sorry, 3 years, 5 years it's been about 6 million, and the last 3 years, 7 million, pre-tax. And of course, added onto that is the £1 million of taxpayers' money you get through FIG with that arrangement. So are we honestly saying that if Starlink was to say as it was, and it's a bigger competitor, and we know that this service, which is great to see, as we said this morning, very happy to see this. Very late, but it's good to see. It is not a replacement for Starlink. We talked about latency and et cetera this morning, which someone may go into here. It's not a replacement of it, and it's not as good in that sense. But are you telling me that it would wipe out £6 million off your line?
Yeah. I'm telling you...
That horrifies me, you're making that much money out of 4,000 people.
No, I'm not saying that...
We've talked long about why you don't publish individual accounts, but nobody makes you.
The honest answer is that we would not make a profit now.
Enough profit.
No, not make a profit. We
so you lose £6 million, mass or menace, takeouts,
so,
whatever
so
the other bits are that we don't
across,
know.
Come into all of our islands, yes, we would not make any profit. We'd make a loss.
And we don't have any Ascension anymore. So, I don't know who's even tagged into your group of what your accounts
Ascension
are.
Ascension and Centrelina are.
So Centrelina's in a different position. Everybody knows what that arrangement is now. Ascension, as you say, is
But I'm saying
gone.
To you, I'm saying to answer
so
your
it's
question.
Mostly us.
So to answer your question, if Starlink was licensed, our prediction is that we'll make a loss.
So now it's a prediction, not...
It's not a fact, because I can't say it is a fact. All I can say to you is what we've experienced in Ascension. It took about 3 months, and in Ascension, Sean was operating at a loss. I'm sorry.
£6 million is gobsmacking.
I think you might find that hard to believe, but it's true. And that,
you've done very well.
It is a fine very line that happens, and this is the truth of the matter is that it's a small island, and we have very high costs. It does take a lot to run the network. It takes a lot with the capacity.
We understand about cost, but we're talking about viability and profit here. They're different things.
They are somewhat, but the costs and the capex and all the rest of it, all the investment that we're making at the risk...
and still making a significant profit, so, yeah.
And but you asked me the question of, would we end up in a loss? Yes, we would.
Okay. My second question, if I can, we talked a lot about it this morning, and maybe some audience are here from company and at home, like me, and some aren't, but... we talked about this being a good solution for Encamp and possibly businesses in Stanley and those at the end of the line that you know have bad broadband service, which is a bad thing to know anyway, but that's good. But how would, and you talked about having to provide the services, I guess you talked about the universal service obligation element. How would we balance that against me having up to 15 and someone having 100 in camp and the latency and the cost? How does that work as being universal?
It isn't universal, clearly.
That's not what we're trying to achieve, then, is it?
But what we're looking to do, as I said earlier on, is to provide a direct-to-customer solution for those in camp, because of the problems of distributing technology mm-hmm. today over such a massive area. To businesses, we talked earlier on as well about how this is, we don't have an unlimited number of these units to be able to put in place. And if everyone...
Why is that, actually? Are they in short supply?
As we described earlier on, which I know you didn't accept, but if everyone was to use the LEO service, the service would be congested, and that's true for whether it's Starlink or whether it's...
No, we've discussed that. It's not true.
It is true, and we're going to publish a paper to demonstrate that.
We can publish what we want. We're watching 3,000 people doing it. Physically off a cruise boat. We know, we talked about the amount of dishes in Stanley, and we know it's not
there's
true.
There's been no degradation in the service.
You're not going to convince anyone about it. Publish what you like, the raw facts are there.
There are so many people in Stanley that are using it, albeit illegally, but people have actually monitored the speed over a period, and it's not degraded whatsoever. How can you say it's going to drop to 10 megabits?
Because
it's ridiculous.
There's technology that's used.
That was my last question.
Which I would assume you're aware of, that Starlink uses beam technology, like all LEO satellites use, and the beam is about the size of Stanley. So when people talk about a satellite having multiple gigabits of capacity, that's true for the whole of the Falkland Islands, but it's not true for Stanley.
Well, there are multiple satellites in orbit at any one time, over Stanley.
You're only talking to one satellite at any one time.
And on top of that,
Stanley... Stanley has basically one beam above it, and that beam is capable of about 750 megs. And that is not very different to what Stanley has for it today from Shaw. So at the peak periods, if everyone is using Starlink in Stanley, it's a matter of fact. This isn't all of the satellites of Starlink, because some of them have more capacity than others. But the first version, which is still the main version of satellite that's out there, only has roughly 750 megs of capacity available to a town the size of Stanley. This is why in parts of the UK Starlink has stopped selling. It's also why they've put their prices up recently and they have now introduced quotas, so it's not unlimited anymore. This is the direction of travel that Starlink is going in places where there is congestion. And that is well documented. All of the information is available online. And as I said, we've got a paper produced by an independent satellite expert that will explain them. It doesn't impact CAMP customers because CAMP are spread out over those multiple beams. And today, it doesn't impact people because there is still a lot of bandwidth available to the people that are using Starlink.
So that's,
but I'm saying if everyone switched over, they stopped using Shore and everyone starts using Starlink, honestly, it is going to be a congested service.
Fair
enough. It's not designed for a town setup type of
service. I'd dispute that, but going back to what I was saying earlier, that'd be perfect if some people were using your Leo system and some people using Starlink. It's never going to get saturated. Both systems won't become saturated.
No, and that this goes back to the question then of can we run economically? Can Shore provide service where half the island's not using our services? And that's not possible.
So they'll still be using the landlines, they'll still be using the mobile, there's still a huge contract to MPA.
Elephant in the room that people don't realise is that people use those services less and less and less. They don't use it more and more and more because people use WhatsApp to make calls. Mm-hmm. So then we end up providing a service that is just purely for kind of emergency use or for driving around and moving around and pure mobile use. And that kind of service, I don't know about you, but how much you're willing to pay a month for emergency service, it's not very much. So that's what happens in this type of situation. And why we feel that, again, I go back to the point, you've asked for some big changes, and we're here with some big changes. You've asked for faster broadband. We're providing faster broadband in these proposals today. You've asked for it to be at a lower cost. We've got it at a substantially lower cost than what it is today. And it's unlimited as well. And those are massive shifts and commitments that we're making.
Well, as Stephen alluded to earlier, it's the main point was about freedom of choice, and that isn't something we're going to get, so that element's going to be missing.
As I say, I think that's a very difficult thing to bring about because of the small scale of the Falkland Islands.
We have a question from Steska.
Yeah, sorry. You gave me another question because you mentioned the bandwidth issue with Starlink. I'm not an expert, I don't know, but I do know that I see multiple Starlink dishes on one cruise ship. Why do they do that if they've only got one beam?
I'm not sure what the setup
is. Because it seems like they would be taking beam data from one.
I think each antenna, the answer to the question is each antenna, we're still talking to the one beam by the way,
right.
But each antenna has X amount of capacity, so it might be 100 megs. Yeah, so you put four antennas on, you get 400 megs of capacity.
But the whole beam itself can only manage 750 megs.
Correct.
Can I ask, you use megs a lot? Are you megabit or megabyte?
Megabits per second.
Right.
Sorry.
Okay.
So thank you for the question.
Another thing, at £50, I currently pay 80 odd, whatever it is for medium. But you're putting the speed down, so you're actually making me worse off. Because my biggest issue is not necessarily the data. I've never run out of data, apart from when it gets to the end of the month and I just do whatever, because I don't care if it runs out on the last day. But I'm getting a lower speed. I was getting 7 megabits per second. Now I'm going to be getting 5 megabits. part of my issue.
So Karen's the other choice. The other choice of the £115 up to 50.
So I have to pay more money.
Yes. If you wanted to get the 15 megs, it's £115 and it's unlimited.
I did a speed measure at about 5:30 this morning, and I got about 1.5 megabits of my 7. Is that because everybody's using it at that time?
No.
Why was my speed so slow?
I would suggest we'll take a note and we'll contact you to find out what's going on.
That shouldn't be the case. No.
Are those figures set in stone? Are they been agreed with FIG?
No. We haven't set those in stone, no.
Okay, because my concern is there are users who are not on the higher packages, they're on the very low ones, the £15, £37, so
yeah,
forcing them to do £50.
That is something, okay. But we're aware of as well.
Cool.
Answer question for Lily.
Mine's a bit of a follow-on, I suppose, from Stevens and Andrews. Obviously, you're going for metered, which most people in here, I think, are reading, listening to what people say, including myself. So you go to then unlimited, which theoretically you probably wanting people to go to the £115 package, which is £30 more for unlimited for twice as quick, in theory. CAM, for the first time ever, will be jealous of CAM because they've got six times quicker for £20 more expensive. But every other service provider is continuing their path to get better for more business. Surely Shore will not just stop there. So what's your pathway to a better system for the future if we continue to stay with you? So yes, 15 megabytes unlimited for 115 is great for now, but in 3 months' time, 6 months' time, 9 months' time, it's no longer good enough and we're competing against that. So where do you see your systems going with what's available now in the future?
Yeah. So I think things have changed so much in the last few months that in the medium term, and when I say medium term, I'm talking the next few years, I believe we can move really, really quickly and really upgrade the networks on the island here. So today we've got a copper network that operates at speeds of up to 15 megs in Stanley, I'm talking about, not in CAN. And when we look at technologies like 5G, fixed wireless access technologies, these technologies are capable of gigabit speeds. There's fibre itself as well. We've already got quite a lot of fibre in the ground here in Stanley. And I think in a very short space of time, we could move very quickly to invest and very significantly upgrade the network so it becomes a future-proof network. As I said, it does take time in telecommunications. You can't just flip the switch and suddenly offer amazing speeds like 1 gigs or 100 megs. So we've got a solution here that's a starting point, but absolutely what I hope is that we could build on this, and then the next stage would be looking at upgrading what I call the access network. So that's the local access network, the way that everyone accesses it on the island. At the same time, I'm really confident that with all of that capacity up there, that we don't have to rely upon and hope and keep our fingers crossed that a subsea fibre optic cable would connect to the island, but that we'll have opportunity to use the backhaul capability, as it's known, of the likes of Starlink, of the likes of Amazon, the likes of Intelsat and OneWeb, and that we'll be able to get that low latency, massive amount of bandwidth that then we can actually properly offer those kind of services where you're talking of speeds 50 or 100 meg become the norm. And that's how fast the technology has moved on. And I really genuinely think that, if a fibre optic cable were to come to the island, then we'd be, I'd like to think that we could be ready for that fibre optic cable coming here and have upgraded the network in time to do that. If that's going to happen, I think we need to move quickly. And there needs to be some certainty around that as well. And so there is a longer term discussion, but we need to take one step at a time. I think that's clear from the XK decision, it's clear from the MLAs, when we, especially when we met and spoke yesterday. The focus right now is on the petition, but I think we do need to keep an eye on the longer term as well. And Shore is very committed to that, and we're ready to invest in that as well. And we look forward to, I hope, a stage where we can put these solutions in place now, and then we can look at the longer term, and we can move quickly. And when I say that, I mean invest millions of pounds in upgrading the network here in Stanley as well.
So with the speeds of the unlimited packages, you're saying, as I've talked about this meeting, that you're listening to people in the Falklands where they want better internet, they want faster internet, they don't want to be paying as much money for internet. But you've just stood there and said, if you want faster internet, you're all going to have to pay more money for it.
No, sorry, I'm not saying that.
The £50 package, that's slower internet speed than three of your packages that are currently on offer. And you just said to Scott, if you want this faster internet, if you don't want your speed to drop, you'll have to pay the £115. Is that not at odds with wanting people to pay less money for internet?
I think the combination, if you like, is what I'm talking about. So we've got unlimited broadband at £50. Now, today, the lowest charge for unlimited is £230. So it's a massive reduction. We've got then up to 15 megs at £115, which again is a two-thirds reduction. It's a third of what it is today. So it's a very, very significant drop. There is going to be some people who are going to have to make a choice of whether to spend a bit more or spend a bit less. And what we decided, we feel is something that is a lot more value, a lot better value. It's a lot more for a lot less as well, generally speaking. People will be able to save, and it removes some important things that we're hearing is a real pain point. You know, so for example, that students and children are staying up until past midnight to take advantage of the free window. That goes with this. So genuinely, we have listened, we have heard, and we're proposing something that is the best balance for everyone.
So just it wasn't directly related to prices, but obviously with the OneWeb system. Obviously last year when we came, we talked about rolling out OneWeb
across
the network.
Yes.
And now you're talking about these panels.
Yeah.
Does that mean that OneWeb is not going to be rolled
out? Sorry, no, exactly. So the OneWeb solution is now ready. So this is what we call the integrated solution. So for those of you on the radio, we've got a direct-to-customer solution, which is the flat panel product that we've got here. What we've also got to finally is the OneWeb service that's integrated to Shore's current service. And what that means is, particularly for business customers who want to get the low latency access to the low latency, which is very important for cloud services in particular, but that is now available. And please do talk to Raymer and to the team. We've got two customers who we're going to start to test that, I'm sure. But it's been up and running now for a few weeks. I think you're aware of some of the issues that we had earlier on last year in launching it. And so we're now, it's tested, it's done, and it's ready to be rolled out.
Sorry, a couple of questions, obviously. You talk about obviously the 15 meg unlimited package. Have you tested the network that we can get 15 meg? Because from what I believe on the unlimited for the £200 one, people are only getting maximum 7, 8 meg. And I wouldn't want to move to a £110 package and actually only get maximum of 7, 8 meg where you're promising or up to 15. So have you proved to offer up to 15 that you've proved that that is possible to consumers in Stanley?
Yes, so the vast majority of people in Stanley can get 15 megs. There are some people that we know can't, and so we wouldn't sell you the product if we knew that we couldn't get it. you don't always get the full 15 because the technology doesn't work like that. But people are getting 13, 13 and a half, 14 megs. So it's very close to the 15, generally speaking. And we've tested that. We know that there are some people that can't get it and that will probably struggle to get to 10. And so for those people, then that's where we think that they're hopefully will have enough units of the directive to consume a solution to fill in those spots, if you like. There's other things that we can do as well, and we are looking at that. I just don't have the final solution yet in place. So the other thing that we can do is we've got a 4G network. Yeah. It's a good 4G network, actually, and we could use that as well, much more than we do today. So we don't offer broadband over the 4G network today, and that's something that I think we could do for those people who have those lower speeds or where they have those problems as well. Cool.
In relation to when you're rolling out the two unlimited, when do you expect that to be? Because I don't think I've heard that today.
So that is pending a discussion, really, with Vic, as some of the questions were asked. But we're ready to move on that very quickly.
Okay. And then just the last question. Obviously, you're talking about 4G network. I've never seen 4G. 2G is probably the maximum I've seen. So what is, we've focused today's evening on
broadband. There must be something wrong with your phone because
I've got an £1,800 S25 phone, so I don't
okay,
think
so
it's something.
But
the question is,
4G everywhere here. That's something that we definitely have.
But something for a lot of people, actually, and what is the aspects to actually upgrade the network? Because I don't think you're correct. I think people struggle with phones. There's times I can't connect, I miss calls,
yeah.
I can't get are text messages from the UK to my Shaw SIM number for logging into banking,
right.
And actually it goes in a vicious circle. I wait 2 hours and that code's no longer valid. So actually the network isn't what you say.
Sorry, I'm not saying it's perfect either, but the 4G network is the data network,
mm-hmm.
And that is a good network. I've been using it myself while I've been here, and I think we can use that network much more than we do today. As I said, I haven't got the final answer on that. We're not announcing that today because we need to do some more work there, but I think that we've got to use all of the technology that's available to us, and that's something that we haven't been doing as well as we should have been doing. Those things like text messages not arriving, we are looking at that, and I hear your frustration on that, and we need to double our efforts, treble our efforts to fix those things that are damaging our reputation here, and make sure that we get on top of those. I hear you. But also hear me that the data part of the network is something that I think we can build on because it is working well.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Andrew,
I didn't know I was in the queue. You're doing a good job mastering. I know you hate this, I'm sorry, but I want to return to the numbers. Because there was some, I know it's difficult, but... So I had to text a friend as they do in that quiz show. Because
Can I
you probably have much better people to text than I do. Because
I'll call for the answer you need.
It was it was kind of that. So I was struggling with the number. You know, we talked about the average of 6 and 7 million over 3 and 5, and then you said, you know, all out Starlink would be crippling to the business.
It would, yeah.
But I was trying to remember what the rest was, and I couldn't think quick on my feet like you do. So I remembered then there is the MOD contract, I can remember, is in excess of £1 million, and I recall that from being said in public information. Then FIG is in the region of £300,000 to £400,000 a year for their connection and all the services you provide for them, plus the £1 million subsidy. So we're ticking on towards £3 million that isn't even touched by Starlink. So I wondered if you wanted to explain to me, for my dumb head again, how you think dropping from 7 million with Starlink is going to go to bust.
Now I'm going to sound like a politician.
We have some in the room, they'll respond, hopefully.
For very obvious reasons, I can't talk about any contracts we've got with any customers. I'm going to repeat to you what I said earlier.
It's okay, don't waste your breath. That's fine.
If Starlink was to come into the Falkland Islands, Shaw would be operating at a loss, and I'm confident, sadly, of that predicament because we've seen it happen in Ascension Island.
Yeah, the comparison is not that good to Ascension. We're small, but we're a bit bigger than Ascension.
I agree that it's a lot bigger, but the impact, the proportionate impact will be devastating to the business, and we won't be able to operate. That's a loss.
I'll stand under the black hole of the 3 million waiting with my basket.
I've got someone who's listening on the team, he wants to ask a question. He's asked me to ask, if everyone gets the unlimited service that you're talking about, does that mean that we can use it in cafes and stuff like that? Because at the moment, if you sign up for the unlimited, you're limited to 5 gigs that you can use in cafes. Are you going to get rid of that 5 gigs and allow us to have internet wherever we want to get?
I would like to think so, yes. So don't quote me on that quite yet. But so I'll use the example in Santolina. When we connected to the subsea cable, to the fiber optic cable, we managed, through the extra capacity that we brought to the island there, we went to unlimited overnight. And we would need to change things the way we operate here in the Falkland Islands. So, I had a conversation earlier on. I'd like to see us do those types of things here as well. Yes.
Can I ask another question? Sorry. I ran a food truck and stuff like that. And during the tourist season, the number one question after do you sell beer, what you fish and chips, is do we have free internet? Is there a way that you guys can roll this out to tourists are allowed to log into and have free internet as well? Because I think it's quite disappointing in this day and age when the tourist comes in and we have to explain that actually we pay every odd to our internet, and as much as I'd love for you to let you log in and use mine, I can't. Is there a way that you guys can say to tourists, come on down, we've got free internet for you as well, so they can contact their family?
I think that's what we want to get to, yes. We've got to get there though. There's a bit of ground to cover to get there. I think there's some controls that need to be put in place and that kind of stuff. We were talking earlier on, we've launched eSIM, so I was able to download a Falkland Islands SIM before I even got to the island, and us promoting that so that if you're a tourist or if you're coming here for work.
But
you can actually get access.
It's first here for less than a day.
I'm talking about people coming here for a bit longer than a day, and principally probably for work as well. But all of these things help, as you're saying, to encourage people to come to the Falkland Islands, to stay in the Falkland Islands. I spoke to the manager of the Marina earlier on. He was saying the number one issue is broadband, is Wi-Fi, and yes, I think we do need to make sure that we improve on all those services that you've raised. It's a really important point.
Thanks.
Just picking up on what Andrew's been asking in terms of the numbers, given the quantity of the Starlinks, which must number a few around here now, how much of an impact have you seen so far on your take as far as that's gone? Have you noticed that's...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And the other question I had was, with this new package you're offering, the smaller one is still going to be quite a lot more expensive than some of the small packages you're offering now. How do you see that working for the sort of old age pensioner who doesn't really want to do much more than download an email or something?
I think that's potentially something that we need to talk to the government about. But when you look at the UK, you're typically paying £45 a month for entry-level broadband. Well, you are in Guernsey and Jersey and the Isle of Man anyway.
We're not the UK though.
No, but I'm saying to you that it's not an extortionate price for the level of service.
I think you're asking to pay £600 a year to get the entry level you're talking about here is a bit steep.
Minimum, you need your phone line as well.
Yeah.
For what, I don't know, but anyway.
Yeah, let's not forget the
primary costs. The new packages that aren't dependent on OneWeb, you mentioned that the tariffs haven't been approved by the government yet. I think you made a sort of slight reference to discussions with the government. What's the timeline of today to when those will be available to customers, and what are the sort of major milestones that you need to get through over to get to the point of actually releasing it to the customers? I mean, are we talking they'll be available in a month or 3 months?
Yeah, I mean, we have a regulatory requirement to give 30 days notice to any changes. But once we've got once we've had those discussions with the Falkland Islands government, then we can move forward very quickly, as I said. Everything is in place for us to be able to do this.
So are there any specific assurances you're looking for from FIG before you get to the point of launching to customers?
I think, as I discussed earlier on, that we're looking to find a solution that works here, that addresses the petition, addresses the Select Council's recommendations, and come to a solution that then would include these plans, would include the OneWeb solution as well.
So I'll ask a very direct question. Is one of those things from FIG going to be insurance that they don't license Starlink?
I think that's something that we need to talk to Fig about, is exactly the circumstances that would need to work in order to deliver this. But what I would say is it's not a situation whereby there is 50% of the market or anything like that can be provided by Starlink, because as I said, that's just not sustainable, that type of situation. There's a lot of ground to cover still to be able to find where everyone gets mostly what you want, and we can do that in a sustainable way. That's what we're trying to achieve, and I think actually that was the Exco mind decision, reading between the lines, is more or less saying that too as well. So I don't think we're coming at this from opposite ends, as people seem to think. I'm here to talk about how we find a solution, not talk about all the problems of getting there. I think there's enough common ground for us to find a workable way of addressing the Select Committee's request or recommendations, the petition as well. And I said, the focus is on quite quickly, very quickly, improving and launching those unlimited plans and quickly rolling out the OneWeb solution that will bring satellite direct to customers as well.
So what's your ambition for those packages being available? I mean, you've got 30 days notice period, you said, so it's clearly not going to be for next month, but do you think?
Yeah, well, if we came to an agreement today, it could be within 30 days, yes.
Yeah. So it could be with effect from the 1st of May?
Yes. We're ready to move.
Can we?
I want everyone to know that we put a massive amount of work and effort into this. It, as I say, it's been the local team, but it's also been the team in Guernsey, and we've been talking at length to our suppliers to make sure that the technology and the capacity is there to deliver on it as well.
Question.
Yeah, it seems clear from what you're saying that you consider it essential that Shaw remain the sole provider of services in the Falklands, and you've described a lot of technology which are big improvements potentially. However, there are still things that Starlink are capable of which you in no way will be able to offer. I appreciate what I'm about to say is quite niche applications, but if I was to have a Starlink Mini on a roaming package, I could go to I don't have a holiday home out in the middle of the wilds in the Falklands, but I could go to my holiday home that I only visit occasionally. I could plug in my Starlink Mini and it would work. I could go to the beach to meet a cruise ship, an expedition cruise ship that is putting passengers ashore, and I could offer them electronic payment for purchasing souvenirs, which might be part of my business. But what you're saying is that I should be legally prevented from doing that, despite the fact it's not a service that I would ever be able to access through you.
So I don't think I'm saying that never access through us. I'm saying not right at this moment through us.
But it's available right now through Starlink.
I hear you.
Yeah.
And I also said it takes time to put some of these things in place as well. I honestly think that if there was a bit more will, that there is a possibility, a strong possibility, and a real possibility that we could also offer Starlink services too. That is not something that we're in principle against at all. And
Starlink operate through?
There was another question, and just the people who are listening on the radio. The other question is, why haven't we done it? And that's because we've entered into some discussions with Starlink, and then they pulled out of them. So it isn't for a want of trying. I've had quite long calls with the representatives from Starlink. We've been speaking to their business development people, speaking to their licensing people as well. They know exactly the situation in the Falkland Islands. They know that we're here. We know that they have a business model where where operators of the likes of Shaw do resell their services. But at this stage, they don't want to continue because I think they would prefer to sell to people directly and not through Shaw. If someone could talk to them explain to them that Shaw is open to working with them in a way that can satisfy, for example, your example is a perfect example, then we are open to that discussion.
Sorry, can I just ask on the left? What would you offer then? If you guys are going to be the reseller of Starlink, what would we gain from getting it from you instead of strictly Starlink?
We're going slightly in a circle here, but you would get access to all of the Starlink services, but locally supported through Shaw and the team here.
I don't understand what supported
means. It works.
For some people, I think that's important. For some people, it's important to have a local team here that you can pick up the phone to.
Having
support.
A person for maintenance would be great, but I run a Starlink at work, licensed. I do it all through the app.
Not everyone needs a support. I'm not saying everyone does.
But a team for support, that's quite an overkill for someone. It's just a tap on a screen.
But there are people who need and would like the help to set it up, to have it up and running, to understand, and for example, if they want to change plans, if they understand.
I think
their
it's
bills.
Working pretty efficiently.
Believe me, I'm not trying to suggest it doesn't work, and I'm not trying to suggest that everyone needs a handhold. But some people aren't as tech savvy as you are.
For sure.
Some people like to have that local support and knowledge that there's a team here of people.
Point taken.
You just said about becoming a reseller for Starlink. I understood it that the only sell to individuals, the only type of reseller you could be would be to businesses. But I just wanted to point out there's a couple of slides missing from this morning's presentation where it was mainly focused on Elon Musk's relationship with the Argentinian president. So it was a bit of scaremongering, I think, from yourself. But then you're saying you'd be quite happy to become a reseller with a company that's friends with the Argentine president. I think that's just, I don't know, I don't...
Sorry, so are you saying that we shouldn't be using Starlink because of the relationship.
No, what I'm saying is the two slides that you've not put on there that I've seen,
you
were saying, you know, it all gets routed through Argentina, it's all a bad thing.
It does.
You know,
it does.
But then you're saying you'd be a reseller for them. Why would you want to be a reseller for them if that's what you pointed out? That doesn't make any sense.
The point of what you were saying about that is that does everyone in the Falkland Islands want to rely on service where the traffic does go through Argentina?
Some of it, if you're lucky. Let's not go into that argument
but
again.
But why would you want
to
be a...
Sorry, Andrew, someone has been to our... Please let me answer your question. If the Falkland Islanders, if you as a community want to use a service that where the traffic does go through Argentina, and the other aspect of this, which we said, was if everyone switched over to Starlink, then Musk has formed. Musk has formed in Ukraine in threatening to shut these services down and to use them and to weaponize them. There is a headlines I showed everyone. We're advised not to by the people that we went through the presentation with earlier because they felt it was inflammatory. But you brought it up, so I'm going to. I'm not going to hide from this. The facts are that Elon Musk has used Starlink to threaten people.
Yeah,
he continues to do it.
I do agree. Yeah,
and he is friends with the Argentinian president. He holds him up as an idol of someone who's being able to cut costs, which is exactly what he's doing. And it's not a stretch to think that the two of them might talk about this one day.
Okay, but my point was, with that in mind, why would you want to become a reseller with a company like that? Why would you want to work with them?
Because, as I said, if the Falkland Islanders say that none of that is an issue, we're not bothered about that, we're happy for our traffic to go through Argentina, we're happy to rely on the service, if the government says that to us, if everyone says that the message is we're not bothered about that, we're not bothered about the traffic going through there, we're not bothered about Elon Musk's relationship with the Argentinian president, we're not bothered about the stuff that he's done in Ukraine, we're not bothered about the stuff he's done in Italy apparently today, to Taiwan, etc. If that's what you as a community say, that you're not bothered about that, then we're listening to you and we would become a reseller of Starlink.
Okay, another point, going back to what you were saying earlier about if everyone in Stanley was to use Starlink, just wouldn't have the capacity. I've got some information. This is based on various public sources and estimates. So a Gen 1 Starlink capacity, you said 750 megabits a second. It's actually around 17 to 23 gigabits per second.
It's not. Sorry, that's just completely...
Well, so all those sources are wrong.
So what we'll do is we'll do some... If you could send it, that'd be great.
We'll
count
it. If that was right, we wouldn't be standing up here and making a point, and we wouldn't have satellite experts doing their assessment and writing a paper, because they'd be completely discredited if they came up with stuff that was completely rubbish.
Yeah, if you could send that to us and then we can...
Definitely.
Yeah,
and can definitely. You send the proof that traffic is routed through Argentina? Or are you behaving like the orange guy, president, that he says everything but never gives any proof? We would like proof that all the traffic is...
I can show you a diagram of the way that the traffic is routed.
Could you show the source of that information, though?
Yeah, this is publicly available information.
Okay.
Would that be helpful? Because I can show that to you now. So, I'll ask you all here if that is something that you would like to see.
Do you want to move on to
another question, Andrew? Yeah, just... I appreciate you taking the slides egg from this morning, actually, despite I don't think they'll add anything to the questioning here, but as we have strayed into it and you've made your case, I feel we have to at least respond to that. And I'll say in the same vein that was said this morning for the people who weren't in that meeting, talking about Argentina to people who have been worried about Argentina for 40-odd years is a little bit rude to tell us that. We live under that hat every single day, whether it's shipping, flights, everything. So don't try and scare us with that. Musk and your man. He is actually the most pro-Falkland president we've had in a long time. It'll change. We've watched the changes for 40 years. The risks of that and what Musk might be, we compare them to the parent companies of your company, which are not exactly ideal either in some ways. But that doesn't matter. I just want to make sure that when we're talking about any threat of communications going through Argentina, and I'm not going to go in the argument of the tracking because we'll say it goes on the cable to Puerto Williams and up the west coast of Chile. You'll say it goes through direct through Argentina. You're going to provide the evidence, so I'm not going to say any more. But the Argentine thing and the scaremongering of Argentina, really, enough. I don't think that's good.
As I say, we took the slides out.
Yes, thank you for doing that. Thank you.
That's answering his questions.
Can I ask and make some observations about the one-way positions that we've seen? You've kindly allowed people to be able to log on and do testing, and I know that quite a few of us have. What we've found, which is very interesting, is that we've found with the UCLA speed test, it tells you where you're landing. And we've actually had one in Rio, we've had one in Argentina, and we've had one in Chile already just this evening. All the tests that I've ever done with Starlink have only ever gone to Santiago. So, you know, that is one observation that I'm not sure your testing can say that you're not going through Argentinian airspace with the traffic, because we're already seeing that it's actually going everywhere in South America.
So we'll obviously double check it, but we have designed it specifically so the traffic does not go through Argentina.
On a related subject, have you tested it with MePlayer, which of course is geographically locked to the Falkland Islands? Has someone been able to go into that and test connectivity?
We've only had it for 48 hours. So,
okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have a go just later.
it doesn't work, Ryan.
Okay, he's just had a go. The final observation about the OneWeb system, you're saying that this thing is going to cost you something like £5,500, and it's going to cost
I didn't say that. I said it costs £5,500 if you go out and buy it today.
Right. But for me as a potential camp user of this thing, a phrase I've never understood or liked, it's not going to be that price, and therefore for you, supplying that to CAM is effectively an unsustainable situation. You're taking a huge hit by purchasing those and not passing on that huge purchase price to me, which is great because I would never be able to justify to my wife that compared to Starlink dish. Why can you not make use of those in the way that we've seen some Starlink customers do, which is to put several of them, we've talked about these on cruise ships. There's also companies who are working in the middle of Africa where they actually pile a bunch of these things on top of a container, and inside the container there's bells and whistles and boxes that combine all the grand bandwidth, put it together, and get rid of those two horrible oversized walks that are just yesterday's news.
So we are doing some of that.
Okay.
Yeah, so the OneWeb array that we've got today is effectively a bunch of these stuck together. They're just parabolics rather than flat panels that we've seen here. That's what we've put in place.
So we've not seen anything, you've not mentioned anything about what that package
costs a customer. We've got no visibility of that. We've only seen the £50 a month and £115 a month. Yeah. And what you're proposing for a CAM customer, I can't help but think that you need to revisit the idea of the 5 megabit a second connection and the 15. I think you should do a 5, a 10 and a 15 and actually be able to cope with the fact that you do have currently people on extra small and small packages. And even if those end up with a quota, you're recognising that Mrs. Miggins, who's only playing with email and isn't really doing anything, doesn't have grandkids around playing on Minecraft and so on, she doesn't need that expense and doesn't want to be put in a position to put out £50 a month. I would revisit that. I think that would be a prudent thing to do. And get an understanding out into the public about what the one web system in town can do.
Yeah, understood. Thank you.
Consciously, I'm a bit late. These guys are finishing at 6:30. If we take one more question and then wrap it up from there, please. If there's anybody else with anything else.
I wasn't going to ask this, but to be honest, you said a lot, people have argued about it, and I think that there is some issue of trust, especially with what happened in Guernsey. Of course, I'm referring to the 5G rollout and the issue you had with LT, with the anti-competition.
Yeah.
I know that had passed literally 2 days ago, but I know that the fine was quashed, but I still think that there's still some issue with trust there. Are you going to do anything to build that trust back up? Or
so just very quickly on the competition case in Guernsey, we won that case because we haven't done anything wrong, and that's what the judge decided. Back to the trust question here in the Falkland Islands, as I sort of opened up with the saying, is that we've got to close the gap, and that, you know, your demands, your expectations have gone up, and you have our full attention. We're working flat out to rebuild that trust. We've got some proposals here that I hope demonstrate to you all that we're ready and able to improve things very quickly. And as I talked about earlier on, I think if we can get through that first phase, then we are willing and ready and able to invest in bringing 100 megabit and above speeds to Stanley and to Camp as well.
I just personally feel that, like, you've upped the packages twice since I've been here, and that's always been quite an opportune time, when contracts were re-signed or when there was other threats. And I kind of feel like you possibly could have offered those improved packages earlier on, and you only did that for a business point of view rather than...
With all due respect, yeah. When we upgraded the unlimited plans in the summer, I stood here last year and said that was what we were planning to do, and we did it. When we increased the broadband plans a couple of years ago, that was after we had come to an agreement with Fortnite's government as well on the amount of subsidy. And we signed a new contract to do that. So that was us delivering on our promises that we made at the time, which, you know, at the moment seems like a long time ago. But, as I said, you really do have our attention. We are working flat out, and we're determined to find a solution that addresses your concerns and brings faster broadband, more reliable broadband at a lower cost as well.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, everyone. Really appreciate it. Thank you for all the questions.
Thank you, guys.